Again, the seminar is on these Shikshastakam prayers, which we have just read, from the very mouth of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Yuga Avatar, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Prabhupada has famously said that although Lord Chaitanya was renowned as a scholar in his youth, he left us only 8 verses called Shikshastakam. He said, these 8 prayers clearly reveal his mission and precepts. So, Shikshastakam. Shiksha in Sanskrit means instructions, and Ashtakam means 8. So these are 8 Shiksha or instructions to those who are aspiring in the path of pure devotional service to Krishna. Ashtakam, just like we have a Guru Ashtakam, which means 8 prayers glorifying the spiritual master. We have Sad Goswami Ashtakam, which means 8 prayers glorifying the 6 Goswamis of Vrindavan. However, in our research into these prayers, we discovered that actually Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never actually wrote down these 8 prayers. I was surprised. I was always under the impression that they had written down in a successive order like this, but actually never wrote them down, Mahaprabhu. Rather, he spoke them individually at different times to his inner circle of devotees in different places, most notably when he was in Jagannath Puri. And it's from the memories or memoirs and notes taken by those devotees that we have the Shikshastakam as we have it today. For example, these Shikshastakam prayers, you could say they really first appeared in the writings of Srila Rupa Goswami. Because you know the Goswamis were the intimate followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's through them that he preached his message of Krishna consciousness. You know, he gave them those instructions to go to Vrindavan and write books on the science of Krishna consciousness, to discover the lost places of Krishna's pastimes and to establish temples and deity worship. So he preached particularly to Rupa and also to Sanatana, and they assembled his teachings into the books of the Goswamis. In this way we understand the mission, the precepts, the philosophy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the Shikshastakam prayers appeared initially in the Padyavali. Padyavali is called an anthology of poetry. It means a collection of poetry. And really it's the verse book of Rupa Goswami. Just like many of you, your Shloka Wallace, you have particular verses which you favor in your classes and your preaching, or just dear to you, inspire you. You like to read them and become inspired in Krishna consciousness. I have a number of verses. Many times when I'm in Russia or I'm in Poland, I'll give a class and it's translated by the translator. So because I've spoken those verses so many times, I just start the verse and they finish it and give the translation. So we all have our verses that are dear to us. Bandhanam means prayer. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Bandhanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atman, Vedanam. There's 9 particular processes which we embrace, which we practice, which water the seed of bhakti within our hearts. So Bandhanam prayer is very important to come before the deity, to come before the spiritual master, to come before the assembly of devotees and reveal the content of your hearts in a devotional way. And if we don't, you know, if one feels he can't come up with a particular prayer, then we memorize prayers from the Shastras. We memorize the prayers of great devotees. And following in their footsteps, we offer those prayers to the Lord, the spiritual master, and the assembled devotees. So Rupa Goswami was, because he'd researched the Vedic scriptures so much to establish that Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan, the original personality of Godhead, he was well read. And in his readings, he came across verses that he liked, and he put them together in a book called Padyavali. It's also one of my favorite books. There's so many verses glorifying the holy name and Vrindavan and devotees and so forth and so on. So in that book called Padyavali, these verses of Shikshastakam are found. But not in a successive order like we chant them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, not like that. They're just in different places like that. It was actually Kaviraj Goswami, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, who on the request of the devotees wrote down the whole history of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his philosophy in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. This book, Chaitanya Charitamrita by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, this was actually the favorite book of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Just as we have the introduction to Krishna consciousness in the Bhagavad Gita, after Bhagavad Gita, the master, you could say you have your college degree, then you go for your master's. So master's is the 18,000 shlokas of Srimad Bhagavatam. And for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, you go into your PhD, the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So it's in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we find these, again we find these Shikshastakam prayers, but not necessarily in a particular order. If you're well read in Prabhupada's books, the Shikshastakam prayers appear in the Antya Lila, the last portion of Chaitanya Charitamrita. And there, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he describes how they came from the lotus mouth of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He says, "A mata Mahaprabhu vasha niya chale, rajani divashe Krishna nirahe divale." While Chaitanya Mahaprabhu resided at Jagannath Puri, he was continuously overwhelmed day and night by viparlamba, by separation from Krishna. Swarup Ramananda e dujana sane, Ratri Dinan Rasa Gita Shloka Ashvadane. Day and night, he tasted transcendental blissful songs and verses with two of his intimate associates, Shri Damodar and Ramananda Roy. Nana Bhava Ute Prabhura Harsha Shoko Rosha Danyog Duhena Atri Utkanta Shantosha. He relished the symptoms of various transcendental emotions such as jubilation, lamentation, anger, humility, anxiety, grief, and eagerness, and satisfaction. Sei sei bhave nija shloka padiya shlokyara arta ashvadhaye dvi bhandulana. He would recite his own verses. Mahaprabhu liked to hear from books like Geet Govinda and other books by great personalities who'd appear ages before him, which touched on the subject matter of pure love of God. Jayadeva Goswami wrote the Geet Govinda, very deep, esoteric, quite advanced. But there are the loving sentiments of Krishna are described, or Radha, and so forth. So in the association of devotees, to bring forth these emotions, transcendental emotions, he'd ask Swarup Damodar, Ramananda Roy, sing some verse from Geet Govinda, sing some verse from this, from that. And hearing those verses, it would inspire him in his love for, well, actually for Radha, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna appearing as a devotee so he could experience Radha's love for him, for Krishna. That was one of his purposes in appearing, also to spread the chanting of Hare Krishna. So that love became manifest when he heard these verses from devotees. Just like we attend Srimad Bhagavatam. And after the Bhagavatam class, we walk out very inspired. Krishna Katha, we've heard something about Krishna, about devotional service, about his devotees. Every day we come, we feel we learn something new or something's repeated, which inspires us and carries us throughout the day. So Mahaprabhu was doing this, but in a very deep way with his very confidential associates. So shloka arta ashvadhaye dvibhando lana. Sometimes he would compose a verse. It's perfectly all right. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And ultimately, all the Vedic literatures, all the knowledge emanates from Krishna himself. So he has every right to create a new shloka, which is perfect and complete. So some of those quote-unquote own verses that he would come out with when he was in Jagannath Puri in Gambira, his later pastime. He spent his youth in Navadvipa, he was a scholar, he was told at his school. Then he started the Sankirtan movement. Then he got married. Then he took sannyas. Then he traveled around India preaching. But the later part of his life was reserved for living in Jagannath Puri in the house of Kashi Mishra, which later became Gambira Temple, and his deities, Radhakanta. So there he experienced these different emotions, day and night, with his devotees. So sometimes verses would come out, and devotees would write them down. So these are the verses we just... These are select verses from many verses. Those who were close to him understood him very well, just like you understand your husband very well, you understand your wife, you understand your children, you understand your friends. Those who were intimate associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they knew him, not only because of their close association with him in that particular incarnation, because these devotees were all residents of the spiritual world, intimate associates. Prabhupada says, just like a king, when he travels somewhere, he never goes alone, but he takes his entourage with him. He takes his wife, he takes his children, he takes his ministers, he takes his generals, he takes a group, and they move and go from place to place. So when Krishna comes to this world, he never comes alone. He comes accompanied by his devotees who play different roles in his pastimes, in his mission. Even some of them he sends ahead. He sends them ahead. And they take birth as, a devotee may take birth as the father of Krishna, or the mother of Krishna, or the brother. They set the scene for when Krishna comes for his pastimes. So devotees like Rupa Goswami, they know the heart of the Lord very well because, well, Rupa's Rupa Manjari. He's an intimate servant of Srimati Radharani. So they know the heart of the Lord. So they decided, let's take these eight verses. And they wrote them down. And this way we know the inner heart of this Yuga Avatar. Namo Mahabharanaya Krishna Prem Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Guru Tushvay Namaha. Rupa Goswami, when he first met Mahaprabhu, and Mahaprabhu came to Allahabad, Rupa saw him, just seeing him immediately he recognized who he was, and he said that prayer, which glorifies Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the most munificent incarnation ever to appear. Because he gave something very special that no other incarnation had actually given, and that's prema, love of God. As we were discussing the other day on Gaur Purnima, when the incarnations of the Lord come, and there are numerous, Ete Chamsa Kalo Pumsha Krishnashtu Bhagavan Swayam Indriya Vyakalam Lokam Vidayute Juge 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 Juge, when these incarnations are coming, descending in each age like this, with a particular mission for the people that particular time, unlimited, but generally they're doing three things. Paritranaya sadhanam vinashaya duskritam dharma samsthapanaya sambalam. They're rescuing devotees. They're annihilating miscreants. And they're speaking spiritual knowledge again. They're reestablishing dharma, truth, because the message sometimes gets twisted. People comment on it. They take a part out they didn't like. And so Krishna comes again for these three reasons. But generally, when these incarnations come, it doesn't mention that they're giving this prema, this love of God. That's reserved for very advanced souls who've gone through millions of births and come to the point. But Mahaprabhu, he's coming and giving love of God. And what type of love of God? Braj prema, the love of the residents of Vrindavan. There's different types of love, different depths of love, just like there's different types of gold. There's 9-karat gold, there's 18-karat gold, there's 22, and now in Hong Kong, you can get 24-karat gold. It's just got a slight trace of another metal in there to keep it strong, because gold is very soft. So love is like that. There's different types of love, different depths of, different purity of love. So many devotees, you read Brihad Bhagavatam Muntam, Sanatana Goswami. He goes to different types of devotees, different types of rasas. They're all wonderful. It's like we have different types of relationships. So it's all very nice. Each relationship is important to us. Mom, dad, grandpa, grandma, great-granddad. We have a cousin, we have a nephew. Any one of those it disappears from the scene, we feel heartbreak. Because all the relationships are important. So Any relationship a devotee has with Krishna is not considered inferior. I heard Prabhupada say one time, anyone who thinks the love of Mother Yasoda is inferior to the love of Radharani, he's aparadhi. Variety is the spice of life, so these varieties of loving relationships give great pleasure to Krishna and his devotees. But still, we hear in the writings of Jiva Goswami, perfect, more perfect, and most perfect. When I first read that, I said, that is awesome. I never had a concept. There's perfect, but then there's more perfect, and there's most perfect. And Jiva Goswami gives the analogy. He said, there's Dwarka, there's Mathura, and there's Braj, there's Vrindavan. Devotees love Krishna as a king in Dwarka. And in Mathura, it's also a relationship of master and servant, but there's a little tinge of intimacy there in Mathura with the ladies of Mathura seeing Krishna and Maharam walk through the town. So there's some love there. But it's perfected in the love of the residents of Vrindavan, and particularly amongst the gopis. I was listening to a lecture of Prabhupada, and he was describing devotees' love for the Lord. It was actually the appearance day of Lord Varaha. It was like 5 minutes into the class, and he was describing the different types of loving relationships. And then Prabhupada said, but the gopis, they never ask Krishna for anything. Then he broke down crying. That was into the lecture, 10-minute lecture. So it's a deep subject matter, but that's the definition of love. Love means to give more than you take. And if you just give and take nothing back, that type of loving relationship, selfless, not selfish, but selfless. And it endears you to your beloved. If you just, your heart just goes out totally, you're going to sacrifice everything. Like Prabhupada said, the closest thing to love, real love, in this material world, is the love of a mother for a daughter or son. Sometimes we see parents that may have to sacrifice their own lives for their children. This is unconditional love. So in its perfection, in a spiritual, transcendental way, we find that in the spiritual world, particularly in the heart of the gopis. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came and he revealed this, and he gave a process whereby the people in Kali Yuga, who are the most unqualified, they can attain that exalted state. In which way? You chant three words. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. So all that, from the initial stage, from the day you meet a devotee on the street, you're walking on your way to class, or you're on your way to work, and someone stops you. Hey, Mark, take a look at this. It's a book. Yeah, I'm sort of interested. And then you buy, you read. I'd like to know more about this. The smile on that devotee's face was something I've never seen in my life. The eyes of the light of the soul. I could see that devotee had something I don't have. I'm going to go to New Govardhan and see what's happening. And you come, and you hear, and your doubts are removed, and you eat lots of prasadam, as Papa said, up to the neck, in the beginning. And so forth and so on. Then you stick around and you take up the process. 16 rounds, the principles, Sadhu Sangha, worship the deity. Adoshvadha tata Sadhu Sangha tata bhajana kriya nati niviti syas. Take up the process. That's called Shadan Bhakti. With a little faith, you take up the process. And gradually there's advancement. The Gaudiyas say, for one who is sincere, first birth, sadhan bhakti, next birth, raganuga bhakti, third birth, prema bhakti. But just as Lord Chaitanya is the most merciful incarnation of the Lord, even more merciful than Krishna, because Krishna sets certain conditions. Mahaprabhu says, here, take Krishna. So he's more merciful than Krishna, but his most merciful devotee, who's bringing his mercy, is Prabhupada. Prabhupada was so kind. He said, you just chant your 16 rounds, follow these four regulative principles, try to spread the movement, you can go back home, back to Godhead in this lifetime. And our first saint in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness was Dayananda. He had cancer at 35. He passed away alone in his room Day's Word, Mangalarti, Papa wrote in a posthumous letter, if, in fact, you had any material desires in your heart still, you've gone to Svargalok. And from there, you can fulfill those desires in a gentlemanly way, but you can, from there, you can promote yourself to Goloka. Said, but, because you were hearing the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, I say, you have gone to Krishna Loka. So these Shikshastra confers, they show us what is the journey. Everything's, nothing's like kind of vague and, you know, difficult to grasp and what about, no, everything in Krishna consciousness, the whole path is laid out from Shraddha to Prema, from the Bhakta program to the point where, O Govinda, feeling your separation, I'm considering a moment to be like 12 years or more, tears are flowing from my eyes like torrents, I'm getting all vacant in the world of absence. This is a very exalted stage. But from the day you walk into the door to the day a tear comes to your eye due to constant kirtan yatsadahari, constant chanting of the holy names, the whole path is out. You can find, you can look like you're on a map, right? You're coming from Brisbane to New Govardhan, Pratapnam, Jayashri came, they drove, they had a map. They knew where they were, what's the next town, they came, they arrived. So it's all laid out in Krishna consciousness. In a general way, through the Shikshastra confers. From Shraddha to Prema. And that's why they're so important. Of course, they're just eight prayers, but they're pregnant with so much meaning, realization, and understanding. And we must discuss them, actually. I was very glad that Sri Prahlad asked that we speak about the Shikshastra confers because they have so much information how we can advance. You can look where I am. Oh, Adosha Dattasa. Oh, I'm there. What's my next step? Oh, that's exciting. I don't want to go back. I want to go forward. It's all laid out. So as Prabhupada said, these eight verses, Shikshastakam, they clearly reveal the mission and the precepts of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And because they come from Mahaprabhu himself, therefore they're very authoritative. And because they're arranged by his disciples to clarify Mahaprabhu's sublime philosophy, we're very grateful to the Goswamis. Eight simple instructions. Just have to follow. It's like sometimes they have courses. You can learn French in 15 easy lessons. Bonjour, ça va, merci, c'est pas possible, oui, 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 non, non, non. Or you can learn Italian cooking in 10 easy lessons. Of course, these are not perfect examples because, you know, although the Shikshasakam outlines the philosophy of Lord Chaitanya in 8 verses, it's not like learning French or Italian. Because Mahaprabhu gave, again, the most comprehensive, deep spiritual philosophy that's ever been revealed. Even Vaishnava philosophy, Vaishnavas. Vaishnava means one who worships Vishnu, or specifically Krishna. Vaishnava philosophy has been around for a long time. There's devotees of Narayan, devotees of Vishnu, devotees of Krishna for, what you read in the Bhagavatam. What is Bhagavatam? It's Purana, it's very ancient. Goes back millions of years. We hear of great devotees, millions of years, but in an organized way, organized movements have been propounding the philosophy of worshiping God as a person, specifically as Vishnu with four arms, or some instances Krishna in the past. That's been around. For example, the Alvars, they were Tamil saints in South India who preached devotion to Krishna thousands of years ago. They're from Dravida Desh. Dravida Desh means South India. Even today you go to South India, the Vedic culture is much more intact than it is in North India. The people of Dravida Desh, it's actually mentioned in the Bhagavatam, the philosophy, the precepts of Vedic culture are very deep in Dravida Desh. Even our Goswamis, Rupa Sanatan. They originally came not from Bengal, but their forefathers came from Karnataka, South India, near Kerala. And they moved moved to Bengal, their family moved, but originally. So many saints, even Gopal Bhatta Goswami, South India, like this. So Durveda Dash. So these Alvars, they were, I forget, 10 or 12 in number, through different eras, different times. They appeared and they, through their poetry, they expounded the philosophy of connecting with God through bhakti, the yoga. Then there's the Ramanuja Sampradaya, there's the Madhva Sampradaya. They all preach devotion to Narayana, to Krishna. But the point is that when Lord Chaitanya came, he expanded upon their teachings and developed the highest understanding of devotion to the Lord. And that we understand from Srila Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, who appeared in the 18th century. He wrote a commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam called Chaitanya Mata Manjusha. And there he famously said, I'm using this word famously, because these verses are repeated again and again by the Bhagavatam speakers and written again by devotee writers and are very dear to the hearts of Vaishnavas. They establish our philosophy. So here's a very important verse which he outlines again, the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as different from his other sampradayas, with all due respect. It's like, you know, you have grade school, you have high school, you have university, you have master's, you have PhD. Not that one is better than another, because he's at this point. It's all a question about evolving, of growing, of maturing in Krishna consciousness. Whatever you want to know, that knowledge is available. Some people are finish school at 16. Some people go on to university. They want a master's. They want a PhD. They want to be a researcher. So as much as you hanker for that, knowledge is there for you. So Mahaprabhu appeared to give the most deepest, most complete message of love of God, as we were describing earlier. And that is encapsulated in a beautiful verse by Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur. Arajyo Bhagavan Vajrasa Tanayasta Dama Vrindamanam Ramyas Kaschid Upashana Braja Bhadu Vargena Yalkalpita. The most worshipable form of God, there's so many expansions, is Krishna, the son of Maharaj Nanda. And Vrindavan Dham is the topmost worshipable abode. When I was young, I used to travel all over. When I first took sannyasa in 1979, I just, bare feet, I took a bus to South India and visited all these tirthas and holy places, rivers, and everything. But I don't do that anymore. I just go straight to Vrindavan Dham. Vrindavan Dham is the topmost worshipable abode. And I learned later from my Purukkama guru, Dina Bandar Prabhu Ki, that actually all the holy places reside in Braj. How many holy places are there? 60 billion. Each year we organize a Purukkama in Vrindavan, and devotees come and with Badahari Prabhu and others, we take them out and go to a holy place. We sit, we have bhajan, we have katha, we have bhajan prasad, like that. We go back to the places of residence. And I'm always thinking, you know, I was thinking for some time, you know, I'm running out of places to go. Every year, Nandagaon, Bhashana, Terakadamba, Asheshavan, Sevakunj, the places of Krishna's pastimes. And then Dinabandhu said, Maharaj, don't worry. That somewhere there's a list of 60 billion places. It's going to take a few. And the idea is that all the holy places in India, and that's the beauty of India. I just spent 5 months there because everywhere you turn, there's a temple. There's a deity. Even if it's a demigod, you can play to the demigod. I want to be like you. Your Lord is Krishna, so you please give some bhakti to me. There's a holy river. There's a sadhu. There's prasad. Everywhere you turn. But all these holy places have their origin in Vrindavan. The original, all the places around India, they're expansions of the original holy place. Even Bhadrikashram. Bhadrikashram is way high up in the Himalayas. That's where Srila Vyasadeva is still living, meditating. That arduous journey on those roads that go like this up the mountain, you see the buses that have fallen off the road down in the canyon. You don't have to go there. You can go to Bhadrak Ashram, which is about an hour and a half drive from Ramanreti. And of course, most important is the fact that this is the place where the Brajbasis live, where the cowherd boys and the cowherd girls live. And if you live in that environment, that atmosphere, you catch that mood. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that devotional service, Krishna consciousness, is something that is imbibed from another devotee. It's not that you study and you write everything, memorize, and now I got it. That's jnana. What is vijnana? Realized knowledge. And what's more, pure devotion to the Lord. That's something you get by blessings. We make our efforts, our puny efforts in Kali Yuga, but it's so much. By that, we endear ourselves to Guru and Gauranga, and they bless us. Most of our progress comes by blessings. Just like your children. You know, I remember one time, it was my father's birthday, so I went to his room and I took out of his wallet $50 and bought him a present. He was really impressed. Where'd you get that money? I got it from your wallet. What? But the very thought that as a son, I wanted to offer him something, that's what he took into consideration. So our efforts, what is our service compared to the service of great devotees who serve with no selfish interest, have no material desires, no lust, no anger, no greed, no envy, no jealousy. They just serve to show their love to their lover. We're on that path, but we're not yet at that perfection. But still, because we're making the effort like little children in a family, you get blessings like this. So that mood is there in Vrindavan. If you live there, you catch it. It's like if someone sneezes. Achoo! Whenever anyone sneezes, usually I'm on a bus or a plane, I'm usually, but all the questions are me. So when the pure devotee speaks, when Śrīla Prabhupāda speaks, that's why it's so important to listen to his lectures and hear his kirtans. Chanting Hare Krishna is always, to hear the chanting of Hare Krishna is always beneficial, but to hear the chanting of Hare Krishna from the lips of a pure devotee is a special thing. So in the Krishna book, Prabhupada says, when pure devotees speak about the Lord, it's like that speaking goes out and forms little droplets of pure love, and those droplets fall on the head of the audience, and they become Krishna conscious. Just like Mahaprabhu, he would do kirtan with his devotees in Navadvipa. They would go from Karangam village to village, and sometimes the kirtan was really going, like this morning, Trivikram was leading a really whomper stomper, and in those days the dust would accumulate and go up into the sky, a cloud of dust, and the wind would blow that dust to different parts of the region. And the farmers, they were farming their field with their cows. And the dust from the feet, the dust that had touched the feet of the lotus feet, the dust which had come from the feet of those pure devotees who were assisting Mahaprabhu, would fall on the head of those farmers, and they would fall on the ground unconscious and exhibit eight symptoms of ecstatic love affair. So devotional service is something that you imbibe. That's why sadhu sangha, sadhu sangha, sadhu shastukhoi, lava matra, sadhu sangha, sadhu siddhihoi. Even a moment's association with devotees of the Lord can fan that fire that in the heart there's this little flame of bhakti. It hasn't gone out. It's like you, in your house, you have a pilot light in the furnace. It never actually goes out, that little pilot light. You turn them on, turn it off, the flame doesn't go out. The flame's still there, but it remains very small and protected by the aluminum or the encasing, or iron, or whatever. So within the heart of every living entity is prema bhakti. Even the ant, even the cockroach, even the mosquitoes who were biting me last night. In their hearts, they're a bit off course, of course. But there's that. And how to fan the fire? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama. In the association of devotees. What is the word? Samsarpasarpadushtanam. Senior moment. What's the first? Nisarasapadishtanam. Yes, I am getting older. And fatigue and jet lag. Those who have been bitten by the serpent of Kali Yuga in this age, they will get relief by the medicinal herb of Asadham Bhagavan Namah, chanting the names of Krishna and Srimad Vaishnava Shevanam, serving the lotus feet of Vaishnavas. Just like nitrogen and glycerin, they're powerful chemicals, but alone, put them together, kaboom. So chanting Hare Krishna and devotee association is very nice. You put them together, Hare Krishna explosion. That's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he introduced this particular process of chanting. Before Mahaprabhu, devotees were generally doing bhajan. They were in Braj, they were in Navadvip, Ayodhya, different holy places, because it's beneficial to chant in a holy place, because the results of your service performed in a holy place are magnified 1,000 times. But Mahaprabhu, he said, in this age, you all come together. Krishnanam tusha krishnam shangu panga shriparshadam yadnari sankatan prayak yajanti hi shumayasaha. There's this particular benefit in coming. When many people come together, the chanting has a better effect. Krishna can hear it. Not just because it's loud, but he sees the heart. Krishna's in the heart. He feels the appeal of the devotees. So you may not be appealing, but the person next to you may have a stronger desire. But you're there. Krishna accepts the kirtan, everybody benefits. Just like if you have a particular grievance with the city hall. I don't know if there's a city hall in the Willambar, but let's say somebody, you go and, you know, you have this grievance and you go out, they're having a city planning meeting, and you're out in the street, hey, you guys, I want to... They just close the window and draw the shades. But if you come with many people who have the same cause, and all of you, hundreds or thousands of you, hey, okay, what is the problem? And you can discuss. So it's not a perfect analogy, but it's something like that. If many people gather together, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. And what's the proof of that? When the Kazi tried to stop the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he sent his soldier, break the drums, beat those devotees, stop this. The first act of civil disobedience. Now, of course, there were many acts of civil disobedience in the history of mankind, but Prabhupada said the first, which means the most significant, the real, with a real purpose in mind, to establish the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that's something meaningful, that's something beneficial to society, for the spiritual welfare of society. When you have a revolution, it's to improve things. The best improvement is everybody chants Hare Krishna, takes up the life of devotional service. He assembled all the devotees, the Chaitanya Bhagavat says millions, with their flames, and they came to the house of Chankazi. What is it? I want to speak to you. Come on up. And then he gave this particular type of iron plaque to Lord Chaitanya and said, you know, wherever you go with this plaque, this is the sign of my rule, my Muslim rule, this particular design, the ornaments on it. Wherever you go, when people see this, they'll know that I have given you the permission for this Harinam Sankirtan. And a few weeks ago, I was in Vrindavan and I visited the house of a good friend of mine, Anup Goswami, who lives at Sringarvat, Nityanandavat, which is the first place that Nitai came and sat down when he came to Vrindavan, and they established a math there. So he became a good friend. He said, Maharaj, would you like to see that tikka, that iron piece that the Chankazi gave to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? It's the original. Yeah, I want to see it. So I said, put it on my head. Need some special mercy, I guess. I got a bump here. I'm hoping it'll stay for a long time. Like that. So, yes, these dharms are very potent, not only because they're the yoga pitha, the place that the Lord made his appearance, but because his devotees congregate there. Just as mundane materialistic people, they congregate at what is dear to their heart, beer, illicit sex, mental speculation, politics, whatever, sporting events. They'll go there by the hundreds of thousands. So what is dear to the heart of the devotee? Krishna. Krishna's devotees, the process of devotional service. So devotees naturally, like a magnet, they go to the Dhamma. Because there's so many devotees there, you go there, you imbibe that spirit of Krishna consciousness in that place. That's why it's important to come to those. And the outposts, or you could say the embassies of those spiritual abodes in Vrindavan, like New Govardhan. This a very aptly named. This is a hill. And we have our temple, but it's not New Govardhan just because we built on this hill. It's New Govardhan because the Lord has come on your request. And you're engaging in the nine processes of his devotional service and your devotees. So in one sense, this place becomes non-different than Vrindavan. So we come to places like this to associate and advance in Krishna consciousness. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur described what is the special contribution Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave. The most worshipable form of the Lord is Krishna, the son of Maharaj Nanda. Vrindavan Dham is the topmost worshipable abode. The highest and most pleasing type of worship of Krishna is done by the Vraja Gopis, and Srimad Bhagavatam is the spotless authority on everything. So other sampradayas, I spent a lot of time this year with the Ramanujis and the Madhvas. I was in Udupi and I used to go to see Udupi Krishna. And I'd speak with the Madhvas. We're the Brahma, Madhva, Gaudiya, Vaishnava Sampradaya. Our Sampradaya is authoritative because we come in this line from Brahma. Krishna played his flute, it appeared as Gayatri mantra, went in the right ear of Brahma, went to his heart. He immediately realized he was a maidservant of Krishna. So Brahma's the first, and then it coming down, down, down. Then Madhva. Mahaprabhu took something from each of the sampradayas. Basically, I mean, we have our differences with the Madhvas, you know. Mahaprabhu had some arguments with them. One time Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati said, the only thing we have in common with the Madhvas is we both worship Krishna. Because they see Lakshmi as a jiva. They have some different concepts. So, we won't get into it now, but it's an it's accepted as a bona fide sampradaya. So Mahaprabhu, our land, because we accept Krishna, the Madhvas, like that. But if you have time, if you're scholarly or whatever, you look at all these sampradayas. This one I just read from Vishwanath, this is Mahaprabhu's special revelation. It was never revealed before. And he revealed it in Kali Yuga. Almost magnificent incarnation, Rupa said. You were Krishna himself appearing as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You've assumed the golden color of Srimati Radharani, and you're widely distributing pure love of God, even in America, Australia, New Zealand, China. I've heard, I'm going to China, preparing myself to go to China. In China, I was told they have no word for God. They worship the ancestors. There's no word for the Supreme Personality of God there. How do you spread Krishna consciousness? We should worship the Supreme Lord. What's the Supreme Lord? So this is all going on by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But not only did Mahaprabhu reveal this topmost understanding of love of Goloka Vrindavan, Brajabasis, gopis like that, but he gave a process again whereby we can achieve that state. That's nicely described. How even Malachas and Yavanas and Rakshasas can attain pure love of God in Kali Yuga. I heard the demigods are waiting in line in the heavenly planets to take birth in Kali Yuga because they can achieve perfection by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And how do you do that? You serve the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yata yata gora padara vinde vindete bhaktim krita punya rasi tat sapati vidha kajmat radaparam bhoja sadumbarasi. To the degree that we surrender to Lord Chaitanya's service, to that degree we gain qualification for service of Radharani's lotus feet. That verse has been promoted under Saraswati from his Chaitanya Chandamrita, I think it's verse number 88. So very, very the Sankirtan out there distributing books and all. horns are honking, the exhaust is there, people are calling you this, and it's hot, it's cold. You're in Mongolia trying to distribute books, and it's 52 degrees below zero. What the hell am I doing here? Oh. To the degree that we surrender to Lord Chaitanya's service, and Prabhupada gave us a very practical way to render service to Lord Chaitanya. Go out and preach the divine command. Distribute books, open restaurants, have festivals. To the degree that we surrender to Lord Chaitanya's service, to that degree we gain qualification for the service of Radharani's lotus feet and Vrindavan. Who would not go on Sankirtan? Who would not grab that book bag and run out to Mawulamba? But I've seen this book 65 times. Buy it. Anyway, this whole process is outlined in the Sikshastakam prayers, from Shraddha to Prema. And in that Anti Lila section, Krishnadas Kaviraj says that after Mahaprabhu recited these particular eight verses to Ramanandaraya and Sri Ramana, he began commenting on each one. We're giving a class on these verses. We can only do it because we've heard what Mahaprabhu said on it. The difference is that when Mahaprabhu was giving this class, quote unquote, he became like a madman. A transcendental madman, because he was so absorbed. Kaviraj Goswami explains that he not only composed these eight verses, but because they contain the essence of his philosophy, he was able to personally taste the nectar in these verses. He could understand the deep meaning, and he wanted that his followers also imbibe that meaning and taste that ecstasy. Purve ashta shloka kari loka shikshidhila, Kaviraj Goswami says, se ashta shloka artha apane ashvadhila. The Lord had formally composed these eight verses to teach people in general what is Krishna consciousness. Then he personally tasted the meaning of each verse and named them Sikshastakam. Prabhura Sikshastaka Shloka Ye Pare Shune Krishna Prima Bhaktita Bhare Taradine. And listen to this. This is for each of you sitting in this room. If anyone recites or hears these eight verses of instruction by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his ecstatic love and devotion for Krishna will increase day by day. So we're hoping that at the end of 5 days, but at least we'll have made some progress. Better to be making, you know, slow progress in the right direction than to be running in the wrong direction. People are running around this world mad for sense gratification. And we're not going that fast. We're going slowly. Brahmasamhita says a devotee, he makes progress, little incy-wincy bits like that. But it's eternal progress. It can't be taken back. When my god sister, Shukra Shajari, in Detroit in 1970, she lost her beads. And she got a new set of beads and sent them to Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada sent her a new set of beads back with a letter. This is the last time I'm going to chant on lost beads. So I'm getting too many. He said, try to understand. He said, these beads, those beads. When you take initiation into the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Harinam initiation, that's an eternal blessing. It carries with you life after life after life after life. If you get that blessing, that means that the next life, you've still got it. It's not something like that disappears at death like everything else. The blessing is still there. So we may not come to this, you know, on Monday or Tuesday, we may not, but we all have made some progress. And like Confucius said, the longest journey begins with the first step. So that a slow but steady wins the race, right? There was a turtle and the hare, the rabbit, and the turtle. The rabbit. The rabbit became a little overconfident, a little proud. We'll see you later on, next few days, Mahaprabhu warns us against pride. Don't take credit for your advancement. Don't take credit for anything you've ever done. It's all the blessings of your spiritual master in Krishna. It's blessings. You can't take the credit. Like Prabhupada said, what have I done? It's all the mercy of my Guru Maharaj. I haven't added anything, I haven't subtracted anything. Sometimes a little pride may come in because we're neophyte. A little pride, so we'll be warned in the next verse, next couple of verses about that pride. But progress is coming day by day. But at least I think we'll have made a quantum leap because there's so much nectar in these verses. Of course, we chant them. I don't know if you chant them here. Many temples I visit every morning, and sometimes I look around, and it becomes like a mechanical thing, and I really should hurry up so I can start chanting my japa. But we should, hopefully after this weekend, next time you hear them, you'll pause and you'll think very carefully, and remember that quote by Kaviraj Goswami, Prabhuda Shikshastra, the Shloka Yehi Padishuni, Krishna Prem Bhakti Tarav Hade Dini, Dini Dini. If anyone hears, recites these eight verses of instruction by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his ecstatic love and devotion to Krishna will increase day by day. So much is to be gained. So let's begin. That was an introduction. I only have 10 minutes left, and I haven't even started the first verse. So, technically, the first five verses of Shikshastakam elaborate on this sadhana bhakti. We don't want to jump forward. Step by step we want to go. Prabhupada always warned us about sahaja, pretending or thinking we're advanced. We have to be very honest where we are in devotional service so we know what the next step is. So the first five verses are particularly important because they elaborate on the process of sadhana bhakti. And the last three are the advanced stages. So the first verse, let's read the first verse. Everyone still with me? Okay. Glory to the Sri Krishna Sankirtan, which cleanses the heart of all the dust accumulated for years and extinguishes the fire of conditional life of repeated birth and death. The Sankirtan movement is the prime benediction for humanity at large because it spreads the rays of the benediction moon. It is the life of all transcendental knowledge. It increases the ocean of transcendental bliss, enables us to fully taste the nectar for which we are always anxious. So this verse, if it hasn't been mechanical and you're listening very carefully, it stresses what? The congregational chanting. Mahaprabhu opens his instructions to humanity for the next 10,000 years with stressing the importance of coming together as a community or a village, or a town, or maybe someday the world, chanting Hare Krishna. And such congregational chanting is called Sankirtan. Sankirtan. Param Vidayate Shri Krishna Sankirtan. To the Jiva Goswami, he's given a nice definition of Sankirtan. Bahubir Melitva Kirtanam Sankirtan Iti Uchite. He says, quote, when many people come together and loudly glorify the Supreme Lord Krishna, that is known as Sankirtan. And he said such chanting is considered superior to the soft chanting of the Holy Name. Why does he say that? Srila Prabhupada has instructed us as aspiring devotees that the most important instruction of the spiritual master, and we have to repeat this again and again and again, because as I travel around, my first question to my disciples, they get a little scared, they know what's coming, you're chanting all your rounds. That answers it for me. Sometimes, yes, Guru Maharaj, I'm chanting 32 rounds. But quite often, I'm chanting. But it's like a formula, you have a medicine, right? The doctor gives you a medicine, he gives you 9 pills for over 9 days, and you take 6. Can you expect to be free from the disease? No. It's been thought out. It's been proven. It's been tested by the government in America. It takes 10 years for a medicine to be approved by the FDA. They go through all the different tests. Tried and tested. Mahaprabhu, well actually Prabhupada, because in Gaudiya Mathi were chanting 64. Prabhupada halved it to 32. We couldn't do it. Oh, you poor people of Kali Yuga, okay. A special compensation, just like Mahaprabhu compensated on the teachings of Krishna, but in power. hour that Prasada and Prabhupada, okay, 16, that's minimum. And you get all the ingredients of the master. Mahaprabhu said, I brought this medicine in the form of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Hare. Prabhupada was chanting in Los Angeles. Then he finished and he took his beads and put them on the table. Now I can do any damn thing I want to do. What did he mean by that? He meant that chanting, once you finish your chanting, you can do anything. Krishna can empower you to do anything. Whatever we're doing is by empowerment. It's not based on our own karma or our own abilities. It's we're empowered. We're servants. We're instruments in the hands of the Lord. So if you become a fine-tuned instrument, a very, you know, sharpened blade or a fine, then Guru Gobind can use you to do the sankirtan mission of spreading. So that's first things first. 16 rounds. Then you get protected. You get protected. When Sita was, little Sita, you know, she's in the forest and Ram's going to chase the golden deer and he's called Lakshman and Sita's all alone. And Lakshman, before he goes, he takes his sword and he draws a circle around her with mantra on the ground. I couldn't find that mantra I was looking for. But anyway, we've got a mantra. So. And Radha came, and although she's just a fair princess with soft, tender feet, you know, fair skin, and, you know, Radha is the most powerful asura to ever come to this earth. Couldn't touch her. Like an electric field. But more than that, because she was protected by mantra. Once she stepped out of the protective circle, he grabbed her. So once we step outside of the protective circle of this mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Ravana is waiting. You know what Ravana means? Ravana means he who makes the whole universe scream in terror. I need 10 more minutes to finish my last round. But not only that, when you're protected, then you can grow. It's like in Vedic culture, a girl matures, she has time, she has the opportunity to advance to the stage of pure devotional service because she's protected by her father, Hindu, and her husband, and her old age, perhaps her son, she's protected. We all need protection. So our bhakti lap beads, this devotional creepers, it's protected by our chanting and by observing the principles of devotional service. You see in India, they plant the little trees, but then the cows come and eat them, and the monkeys tear them up. So they build a big wall, a circular wall around a little tiny plant. You have to look down, it's a little plant. But as it grows, it's protected. So we're children. Let's be honest. We're infants in our spiritual life. We're very fragile. We're either under the control of the material energy or we're under the control of the spiritual. We're always controlled. What is our independence? We're like a bull who's big, powering, pouncing around. When he comes to the end, he's got the ring on his nose and the rope is tied to the pearl. And you go, we have so little independence. If we use that independence in Krishna's service, that's the best way. He'll protect us. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare. And the people, that's first things first. But it's very interesting, Jiva Goswami says. It won't stop. Kirtani Yatsada Hari. Mahaprabhu said, 24 hours, 24-7 they say nowadays, 24-7. It means we should always be chanting. We should either be chanting or glorifying the chanting or serving the mission of chanting, spreading the chanting of Hare Krishna. Actually, everyone's doing that by family life, by farming, by taking care of cows, by restaurants. It's all connected. But it's all centered around the Maha Mantra. So powerful. So it evolves. We chant our japa, then we come and have kirtan in front of the deity. And then we have our kirtan mela. It's like that. So Jiva Goswami says that the loud chanting of Hare Krishna is superior to soft chanting of Hare Krishna. Why? And when I read this, I said, wow, wait till I can tell that to the devotees. What is his answer? Maybe I should stop now and tell you tomorrow. Who would like to hear Jiva Goswami's explanation of why loud chanting is superior to soft chanting? Okay. I don't have the Sanskrit, but I have the translation. He says, and I quote, "When they chant very loudly all together, it awakens a sense of wonder in the heart."
Wow.
It creates a sense of wonder. Like, I was a little late this morning because I couldn't figure out the time. There's an hour difference. I got all confused. I came a little late. But from the distance, I heard the the devotees chanting softly. So it creates a sense of wonder in the heart. If you stand by, stood outside just to watch all of you chanting. As Prabhupada said, when he comes to a temple, he can understand how progressive a temple is, how well established a temple is, and how happy the devotees are by two things, he said. How happy the devotees are in kirtan, and how Tulsi Devi is flourishing. So that's why I offer my dandavats, full dandavats to Ajita Prabhu for what he's done here. For Nina Parishita, you judge something by the results. So I was standing and I looked at Tulsi Devi. She's just looked so happy. I mean, she looks happy. She's green, she's healthy, and her leaves are on the feet of the deity. They must be doing well. Then I stepped outside and watched all of you in kirtan. Yes, things are going well. Any program as good as the person is as good as the person who's leading it. So when I was standing there, I was remembering this particular statement by Jiva Goswami. Loud chanting is considered superior to soft chant, but you can't do loud chanting unless you first do your soft chanting. Can't see. I'm not going to chant. Let's go to the kirtan. No. Part of the formula. Loud chanting awakens a sense of wonder in the heart. Even in a bad mood, a fight with your wife, you come into the kirtan and you forget it all. This is what my god sister Jamuna Devi Das, if you read her books, she wrote two books, or one book in two parts. You always refer to those magic, can't be explained by any, material formula, material explanation. It's just one of those wonders, those magic moments in Krishna consciousness. Those are the things you remember throughout your devotional life, these magic moments. So you step outside and you watch the kirtan. It awakens a sense of wonder in the heart. Therefore, because that chanting has that effect, in a temple, on a street corner, in a factory, in a war zone. We're in war zones in our traveling. Chechnya, we're in Bosnia, and people are like, oh, they've lost loved ones, there's graves everywhere, there's blood. We went to Sarajevo, we drove into the town from Croatia. It was 7 days after the Dayton Accord had been signed. The peace, people were still in a state of shock. So let's go on high now. What's going on now? But and people were immediately, we could see so many years of war, which is the grievances, the fear, the doubt, just washed away, and they were also, some of them were chanting. Then we got attacked by the Muslims. That's another story. We went on Harinam on Friday afternoon next to the big mosque. That was our mistake. So you have to be intelligent how you spread the Sankirtan movement. The Srimad Kavachar will tell you, he took the heaviest blow to his head. They knocked him out with a pistol. They had to drag him into a store. He said, great sacrifice, Mr. Kavachar made. He was, when the fight was there, he went back to the front. And I remember I was right next to him. One of the Muslim soldiers put a gun to his head and pulled the trigger. But it missed, I don't know if you knew this, but it misfired. So they took him and banged him on the head. And then I was dragged backwards by another guy. And then, where's Mr. Kavachar? He's lying in a pool of blood, surrounded by these demons. And then we got pushed back, and somehow Krishna saved him. Rakhi Krishna Mare Kei, Mare Krishna Rakhi, saved him. Here he is today doing his valuable service. But the point is, wherever you take these holy names, it creates a little Vaikuntha bubble. And who would you want to live in that bubble? It's not an illusory bubble, it's the real thing. Outside is what's illusion. But you're in an atmosphere, and how can you produce that atmosphere? Wherever you go, three words in that formula, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, so therefore, the most important meaning, that first verse, which is, you could say, the most essential verse, because unless you do first things first, you can't go any further. Param vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtan. Devotees are always saying like, Param vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtan. Let there be all victory for this process. The world is what it is. It's Kali Yuga. I don't have to go into a long, detailed explanation. You just read what's going on in the political scene in America. They're about to, you know, elect Donald Trump. Hare Krishna. Or Hare Krishna. You look at the politics in this country. You look at the crime. You look at the corruption around the world. You look at the fact that they're aborting 60 million children a year. So many cows, you know, the holy cow, Gomata, she's being abused. So many things are going on. And they're trying so many ways to solve this environmental situation. You know, you take the paper and put it in this box, you put the plastic and put it in that box. And, but you got to go to the root of the problem. You've got to boil, you can't just squeeze it out. But first you've got to go take out the little, it's like the head of the boil, the bottom there. You have to pull it out. So you have to go to the root of it. The root problem is forgetfulness of Krishna. If you remember Krishna, you'll be a perfect citizen. You'll be pure in heart, pure in activity, pure in intention. Okay? So there's so many ways of, through politics, through economics, through environment. You know, we're also concerned with these issues, because we also live in this world. And we're concerned for the future of our children, and we're concerned for the future of humanity. If anyone has humanity at heart, it's the devotees. A devotee's happiness is to see others taking up the process. His sadness is to see people bereft of Krishna consciousness, because he knows real happiness is Krishna consciousness. He's tasting it every day as he turns his beads. He can't stop. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. He can't stop him. Prabhu Tiger Prasadam. No. Krishna, Krishna. He must be really advanced. So we know that this is the panacea for all. This is the solution for problems from A to Z, from the top to the bottom. Abhima bhuvano loka puno arvito arjuna manupeti dikuntiya pinarjama nividyate. Krishna gives the description of the material world. We may have our opinions, but he's the authority. He's the temple president, so to speak. He's the GBC, the whole world, the whole creation. From the topmost planet in the material world down to the lowest, all the places of repeated birth and death. That's depressing. But a Vaishnava is very expert at pointing out the frailties of material existence. But he doesn't stop there. He's not like Jean-Paul Sartre. Jean-Paul Sartre was a French philosopher who, you read his work, it's almost like reading our books. He was very expert at pinpointing the problems in society, but he had no solution. It's like, you know, giving someone half a mantra. You have to go into the battle and fight, but how to get out of that formation and come back, you have to have the other half of the mantra. So he was good, but he didn't know the solution to the problems. So what did he do? He took his life. That was the, you follow the philosophy in France, je l'ai, Jean Paul Sartre, c'est la philosophie. Oh la la, you win here, and then you come to him, what do I do now? That's what he did. We offer the positive alternative. This is a phrase we've coined in Krishna consciousness. We have the positive alternative. Punarjanma nividyate. We don't have it, Krishna has it. He's offering it to everyone. From the highest planet in the material world down to the lowest, all the places of misery and repeated with it. But one who comes to my abode, Arjuna, he never takes birth again. And what is that abode? All walking is dancing. All talking is singing. My dear Prabhu, could you please meet with Jamara? Yes, I will. And you dance. And there's a festival every day. We hanker for these type of festivals we're having over the weekend. And you get there, you don't have to go back to work in Sydney or Melbourne or Adelaide. Everything's self-sufficient. There's no need for moonlight or sunlight. Everything's self-sufficient. It's not a dream. It's not some philosopher's idea. It's a real place. Because real people come from that place to this planet from time to time. Krishna, Buddha, Muhammad, Jesus, Mahaprabhu. It's a universal teaching they're giving according to time, place, and circumstance, not the different religions. It's one universal truth, but the perfection is given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the panacea, the strong word, the solution to all problems from these mosquito bites, to indigestion, to bills, to cancer, to HIV, just get out of here. Just go home. There's no place like home. And how is that established? By the mass, by the individual, and the mass chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. So, in this verse, this first verse, the glories of that chanting, the excellences, you know, it's like, if you get a jewel, and you look at it, oh, that's cool. But when a jeweler looks at it, he turns it. He sees the color of the jewel, the clearness of the jewel, right? The ruby has to be clear ruby or a clear emerald. Can't be foggy. And he sees how it's cut. And he sees the continence, just like when you look at a Shalagram Shila. Prabhupada said that it's the continence of that Shila which determines which incarnation it is. It's the feeling. You look at the Nisringa, he's got a big mouth. It's in the Nisringa's roof. This is a Ram Krishna Shiva. So you look at the jewel, it's the continence of that jewel by which you can determine exactly what is that jewel. An expert jeweler, right? So our great fortune is that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has analyzed the Shikshastra. And particularly this first verse. And he says in this first verse, this Paramitaya, the reason it's the Sangatar movement is so wonderful, so powerful, because it has seven excellences, seven things that bring about victory in the heart of the chanter and those who hear the chanting. Seven excellences. And starting tomorrow morning, we're going to discuss what these excellences are. I'll tell you what they are now, but tomorrow I'll begin elaborating on. What are the seven excellences of this first verse, this jewel of Shikha, what is it that makes this verse as the first verse? So this verse, the excellences are that this congregational chanting, number one, it cleanses the mirror of the heart. Number two, it protects one from material existence. Number three, the Sankirtan movement, it dispenses all auspiciousness. Number four, it's the source of all knowledge. Number five, it expands the ocean of bliss. Number six, it gives one the taste of divine nectar at every step. Wow. And number seven, it completely cleanses one's body, mind, and soul, awakening one to the mellows of love for God and Krishna. So stay tuned. Tomorrow we'll elaborate on these seven excellences of Paramitaya Teja Shri Krishna Sankirtan. Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki, Shri Pancha Tattva ki, Rukhpringa Hrinan Sankirtan Yajya ki, Shri Bhagavad Pada ki, Rukhpringa Hrinan Sankirtan Yajya ki,